Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
You're listening to Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a podcast about Linux, open source and amateur radio for everyone. Now here are your hosts, Russ, K5TUX, Cheryl, W5MOO, and Bill, NE4RD.
And welcome everybody into episode number 217 of Linux in the Ham Shack. This is our short topic episode for the week just before Easter and, you know, whatever that means, I guess. But I'm Russ, K5TUX.
I'm Cheryl, W5MOO.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD.
All right. Bill is enjoying a cigar. The rest of us are not. So I guess we need to move on with the show. And because Bill's being a jerk, he can read. Well, actually, no, he can't. I have to do stuff first. I just shot myself in the foot. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we got a couple of things to talk about. The first thing is the Green Country Ham Fest. Cheryl and I had a little confab yesterday about the Green Country Ham Fest and decided that considering all of our other obligations and the financial constraints of going to Ham Fest and the fact that we've got Hamvention coming up, that we will not be going to the Green Country Ham Fest this year. So unfortunately, if you're out in Claremore expecting us to be there, we will not. But we're letting you know a week early. So if the only reason you're going there, and I'm pretty sure that's not it,
is because of us.
You can go ahead and stay home. But for all the other people who are actually going there because it's a ham fest, still go check it out. Claremore, Oklahoma. When is it? April 13th, 14th, and 15th, 13th yeah, and 14th, some, yeah, somewhere 13th, around 14th, that. It's a couple 14th, weeks. 15th, yeah.
Yeah.
So, we've already talked about it, but yeah, you won't see us there, but have a good time anyway.
We didn't realize until we started talking about it. It's almost as expensive as Dayton. So,
it's not, but
it's considering the fact that it's 150 miles away, it's a huge expense,
but it gets like 2,500 people maybe versus 25,000
yeah
ham mentions,
yeah
so love to be able to get there, just not going to be happening. So, and the other thing is Hamvention itself. Hamvention 2018 is coming up in the middle of May, 18th through the 20th of May. We definitely will be at Hamvention. There was a slight bump in the road that we came across yesterday, but the folks at DARA and the Inside Exhibits coordinator helped us out, and we'll be getting our usual booth space for our usual booth price, which was going to be an issue, but apparently it's not going to be an issue. So we will definitely be there. We found out that our booth number is 5004, which people who are paying attention will realize is not the same number that we had last year. We had 5007. However, the booth is exactly the same booth. It's just been renumbered. So we will be in exactly the same spot.
Up next to the double doors.
Yeah, next to the double doors on the, I guess that's the north side of building 5. I think that's
that
north.
Yeah, whatever. What direction that
something
is.
Like that. Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, we'll be in the same spot, even though the booth number has changed. So if you know where we were last year, we'll be in the same place. Now, we were next to Tom, W5KUB, last year. He has moved, according to Bill, into building 2. So we will not be next to him. However, I did find out that in booth number 5006, I believe it is, will be Ham Radio Deluxe. So I'm thinking we should have like Nerf dart fights or something.
I told when Russ told me that, I was like, great, so you and Bill are gonna be like carnies down in front of that booth going no, come up to our booth. Yeah
We're gonna put on our I'll put on a banana suit, Bill will put on his gorilla suit, and we'll have like signs pointing down to our booth standing in front of Ham Radio Deluxe.
Just say no. Just right. Say no to HRD.
Yeah,
you people should know better by now.
Wow.
So anyway, obviously that's not really going to happen, but I just thought it was kind of fun. I definitely think we should go have a talk with them.
with Nerf guns or not?
Well, no, I think we'll probably leave the Nerf guns at home.
All right. Just checking.
But all right. And also, finally, the Hamvention 2018 GoFundMe campaign is live. The link to that will be in the show notes. It's also on the banner at the top of the website and lots of other places.
Facebook,
yeah, posting on Facebook and Twitter and all those places. So if you can, please share that as much as possible and donate if you possibly can. Every little dollar helps. We're looking for $1,000 total, which we figure will be about half of the total cost of showing up at Hamvention. So that includes booth, hotel, travel, meals, blah, 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 blah. So we figure we can cover half of it. And if you all can help us cover the other half, all will be well. But no matter what happens, we will definitely be there. So thanks to everybody who's donated already. And we look forward to seeing everyone in May. So that's what we have for our lead topic. So now I can put Bill in the spotlight.
In the spotlight.
And he can talk about some of these amateur radio things that he so delightfully put in the Etherpad for us.
Yes, I was. It's a slow news week in amateur radio, so I had to really gonna look around for stuff that was interesting. So my first one comes from Reddit, so you can tell it was really bad if I'm diving into Reddit. The 10-meter DX, the contest opening. So right off the heels of the CQ Worldwide prefix contest, there was good reports of some DX in the quieter bands during our solar slump. East Coast stations reported working VKs during the contest.
We have a VK in the chat room.
Yeah, how about that? So, it looks like propagation on 10 meters was a bit better than nothing.
Which is where it usually is, so fantastic.
Yeah. But, you know, it always takes a contest, and that's the strange part about contests are that, you put enough RF up in the sky, and all of a sudden you have propagation in places you really didn't think you had propagation before.
That's because all the signals like piggyback on each other, and they become like actual propagation.
Yeah, we create the plasma in the sky there that
that's right.
Can just bounce off of. Yeah, that's also probably because everybody's on the band listening, so that does help quite a bit. These contests are a great opportunity for you to work some of these bands that you really can't work normally. So, generals, I heard some generals getting on the air, not generals, technicians getting on 10 meters for their first time and operating DX on 10 meters, which is good in the solar slump here that we're in. So, get on 10 meters in the contest and you probably will have some propagation. Our second article comes from the FCC.
Ooh.
The FCC is to hold a workshop on April 13th on critical info during disasters. And I've read a lot of news about various Aries organizations and groups around the area getting prepped up for our season of erratic weather that we always have leading into summer. This kind of goes right along that same vein. So the FCC is, this is from their news release. The Federal Communications Commission, Public Safety and Homeland Security Bureau will host a public workshop to identify communications information needs of government and consumers to improve preparation and response efforts during crises. Informed by input to a Bureau public notice seeking comment on the response to the 2017 hurricane season, this workshop is intended to ensure the commission is collecting the critical information necessary to support the preparedness and response activities of stakeholders to facilitate the availability and reliability of communications during emergencies, disasters, and significant events. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, there's a nice press release, and of course, the workshop will be in April.
There was a lot of multisyllabic words in that. People, when they put out press releases and stuff, they really like to just make things verbose. Preparedness and response activities of stakeholders to facilitate the availability and reliability of communications during it's like we want to be MCOM ready.
MCOM 1.
But anyway, yeah, that's cool. So a link to that if you want to read the whole story will be in the show notes. So that's all we had for amateur radio stuff for tonight. Wow, we're just kind of plowing through stuff here, but we also have some open source topics. And the first one is interesting because there is a race on, and I saw the hashtag for the first time today, actually, hashtag delete Facebook, in the race to replace, as Bill calls it, Facebag. the movement is starting to beat the bushes on replacement. The Open Book Challenge is looking to fund 7 purpose-driven teams that want to build a billion user social network to replace Facebook while protecting consumer privacy. There's also several other systems that seem to fit in this space already, with some caveats like Diaspora and Friendica or friendi.ca or however the hell you want to pronounce it, and lots of Twitter clones like Mastodon and several others. I assume all of this is in the wake of this data breach associated with the
it was the thing with Trump.
Analytica.
Cambridge Analytica. That's the one who.
Well, you know, this kind of just opened up the the box. You know, they kind of just you know, people started realizing when they started deleting their Facebook accounts, where they're pulling their data, and all of a sudden they realized that, like, wow, every text and every phone call has been actually logged into their Facebook account, because, you know, they, like, you know, many others, installed a an application called Facebook on their phone, and happened to hit those yes dialogues when it said, hey, let me access your phone, let me access your SMS messages, let me access your contacts list. You know, when you do that stuff, it opens up for all that information to be shared back to the platform, which then can be accessed from, third party people.
Right.
You know, this is why you don't go onto Facebook and go and do those little apps that make pictures of you and put pictures of stuff, or, replace and put little stickers on your profile pictures. Every time you add an app, you basically expose more people or more third-party vendors to all of your information. Even though it might be minimal at first, you know, it can expose a lot of information, personal information about yourself, to everybody else that you might not necessarily want to share. So, yeah, so the Open Book Challenge is not necessarily open source, but I thought it, since it had mentioned several open source products and stuff like that in the Reddit thread that I actually found this on, I thought it would kind of fit in here quite nicely, since there are quite a few products out there right now trying to, emulate, what used to be what Friendly, or what was that Friendster thing that was out before Facebook or around the same time?
You got me. There's just so many things around there.
Yeah, there was like another thing.
Yeah, it was called Friendster or something like that.
Yeah, Friendster was definitely a thing. I'm not sure if that's the one you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't think so. It was something like that, though.
Yeah, there's so many things out there. There's so many different ways to collaborate and to share information. It's just stupid.
So this has just so you know, this Open Book Challenge, if you go onto it, you can take a look at it and look who the investors are. I mean, one of them is Jason Calacanis. So, take that with your mileage may vary on whether what actually occurs out of this.
Well, I saw that Zuckerberg had apologized to everyone for the data breach, quote unquote data breach, and said that they were going to try and fix Facebook, and said that if they could not keep your data secure, then they didn't deserve to host it, or something along those lines. I think that's pretty closely paraphrased. So I guess we'll see where that goes too. And there's so many, it's over 1 billion people who are connected on Facebook. And it literally started as a way, early on, as a way to share information for college students. And then it became sort of this global worldwide marketplace and information sharing site. So, it definitely became more than it started out to be. And they actually had a lot of early growing pains when it came to security. And there was a whole hubbub, 5 years ago, about people being able to have more granularity in what they shared and things like that. So obviously there's still some problems.
Yeah. I mean, people don't realize what they're actually doing online, you know?
Well, there is that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, this is I think this is going to be this is just like one part of the many things that are changing in the whole scope of the internet and social media and the ability to share stuff. So expect probably more information and more stories like this to continue to pop up. The EFF is fighting a big battle right now too, and I didn't put that in here, but I mean, basically, the entire internet is going through a round of cleansing and censorship that is probably not healthy for what the internet is actually there for.
No one knows what the internet's there for anymore, except for pornography. I mean,
the internet was made for porn, right? You have that song, don't you, somewhere?
Yes, internet porn, we sure do. I can cue it up anytime.
The internet was made for porn. But anyway, let's
KB0 OWD has a prediction about all of this, and he says the Zuck is going down. So
yeah, he'll just sleep on his bed made of stacks of $100 bills,
gold, diamonds, and yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so you know, with this, I also noticed that Friendica, the one we just talked about here, had their latest release of version 3.6. And just so you know, Friendica is a decentralized communications platform that integrates social communication. Our platform links to independent social projects and corporate services. Our mission is to free friends, family, and colleagues from data harvesting corporations. We aim for social communication to be free and open while flowing, between any provider as easily as email does. And some of these changes in the latest version are that you can now interact with postings on the community page, even if you're not connected with the author. Forums can now be addressed with some fancy exclamation points. You can now follow hashtags and some other social media fun stuff. And API was improved, letting the native clients provide a nicer mobile user experience. So, yeah, who knows? That could be the next Facebook or some kind of replacement. I remember Identica back in the day was pretty much exactly the same thing as, I guess, Mastodon is now, a decentralized friend server.
Right.
Twitter clone or something like that. I almost think Identica was out first, but that might just be me.
Oh, before Facebook?
Before Twitter.
No, I think Identica is slightly post-dated Twitter, but not by much.
Yeah, because I remember joining about the same time, so I don't recall before that. But anyway, so there it is. There's one of those products that are out there among others, and I didn't really see much other open source specific topics this week. But yeah, if you guys ever hear of any, you can always send us a note, and we will try to include them in our topic list.
Yeah, please do that. And Steve in the chat room says, I think the big question is, can something replace Facebook and be free to use but not resort to selling data or being clogged with, I'm adding this last part, and being clogged with advertising? I think,
well, at some point, you got to figure a way to pay for it. So that is the problem. And unless you're willing to actually go to a subscription-based service where you have to pay to play, which a lot of people are used to not doing, but they don't realize they're paying with their data.
Right.
That's the price you pay. You're paying with the data. So you are paying. And what you're paying them with is probably worth a lot more than, you know, $10 a month.
I think what people need to start realizing is that to have a good, secure, viable platform is worth $5 a month to be ad-free, adware-free, and data breach-free, as opposed to having something that is free and then winds up screwing you over afterwards.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. We're at work using Mattermost, which is a Slack. It's a free Slack client, and yeah, that works really, really well. So, you know, this kind of thing could work. And if they can decentralize it and create a scenario kind of like BitTorrent, where you can host the servers, kind of like IRC does, and keep it free, and let the internet and the people who run the hardware actually run the server instances, they can. That decentralized model can sort of shift the cost onus onto the people who want to host it, and maybe they can still keep it free and provide a decent service. So who knows? We'll see. There's lots of chat in the chat room. Facebook apparently is a hot button issue. So
it's a hot button issue with a lot of people. So
yep.
I'll wait till we talk about censoring your Skype calls.
Yep. Oh, sign no. of the times. Dave says it's Russian. It's the Russians' fault. Yep, that's it.
Yeah,
we just blame them for everything. Of course, we have for many, many years.
Many
now,
years.
So.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, moving on, we're going to talk about Linux in the Ham Shack, and Bill has been rummaging around in the internet dumpster called GitHub. So
yes. So you can always tell when it's a light week
because Bill browses GitHub. But
I go into GitHub and look for topics because I don't feel like installing anything and stuff like that. So I was looking at the most recently updated stuff in GitHub, and of course two of our favorite loggers pop up here, at least my favorite loggers, CQR log and PyQSO, are both showing improvements to their code from with features for WSJTX and FT8. So if you're building them from Git, you'll have those updates. Those updates were within the last couple of days here. So, definitely active improvements going on in those projects, and expect to see a release probably sometime soon on those. And hopefully we'll be able to grab a dev and take a look at it and see what the actual line items are on that. Also, we had JJ1HGP, that's a Japan call sign, is building a JavaScript-based web logger. It's pretty rudimentary at the stage, MIT licensed, and saves to a .log file. You can check that out over on GitHub, and we have all these links in our show notes. A listener here, AB4UG, also on Skype, or on on IRC normally as I'm a bug, which he's not in the chat room right now, but I've seen him in here before. He's actively working on his little PHP logger, so another web-based logger, and he's using Laravel as the kind of like the, I guess, what would you call that, WebKit, or not a WebKit,
it's a framework. Yes.
Yeah, development framework for PHP. I haven't used that one before, but of course I haven't done PHP in probably 15 years. So he has it up there on his GitHub, and it's MIT licensed, and it looks pretty pretty complete. I will have to probably download that and light it up and take a look at it. DH1TW is working on remote audio, which is a cross-platform audio streaming application built for amateur radio purposes. The most typical use case for this software is the remote operation of an amateur radio station. Remote audio is written in Go. So if you want to take a look at that, that's pretty slick.
That actually looks like the most interesting of all these projects to me. I can't wait to be able to, because using Pulse Audio, like to do TCP path audio is not that big a deal. I mean, it's pretty configurable and stuff, and it comes built into Pulse Audio. But a nice, easy way to stream audio between applications would be great.
Yeah, yeah, and this looks pretty good. I think this one's been out for a while. They just did some updates about a couple weeks ago, so I didn't look at the change log to see exactly what was in there. But yeah, check that out from DH1TW. So, and if you're working on a project that I don't happen to see you on the, you know, the top three pages of GitHub for activity changes, send us some feedback and links to your project so we can promote your effort in the amateur radio open source community.
Yeah, definitely. Please do that. And I'm going to throw in, since we're kind of down to the end of things here, I'm going to throw in a little teaser. There's a project that I found out about while skimming through some of the new things that have been showing up in the unstable Debian repos for ham radio software. And there is an API suite that has been released. And I don't know how long ago it was released, but it's showing up in the unstable versions. It's not in Jesse or Stretch yet, but it is out there, and it's an entire API suite and like driver and integration. It's a whole integration thing for simplifying SDRs and for making SDRs kind of universal, including GNU radio and RTL SDR and was it Osmos or whatever that is in UHD and all that stuff. It's supposed to sort of unify all of that stuff. And I have some feelers out to the people who are doing that project. And I'm hoping by the time we do this, our deep dive episode next week, that we will actually be able to have an interview with them and they can talk about it.
Ooh, cool.
Oh, awesome.
So yeah, that will be great, because it's a cool project and I didn't know anything about it until like yesterday. But it looks really cool.
Interesting.
So,
well, there's a lot of activity going on there. I mean, we talked probably several episodes ago about that GRAN, the GNU radio application repository network or whatever it's called, where they have a bunch of apps that you can use to build various radios for doing various things, like doing telemetry decoding from various satellites and other stuff. So there's a lot of stuff going on in the SDR world, because the radios are all going to be SDRs, and or at least they're trying to become SDRs. And there's tons of little SDR devices out there, like the SDR Play, the RTL SDR, and Smart SDR, and God, yeah, AirSpy, and geez, a zillion of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And Dave in the chat room says a new Linux Mint Mini is supposed to be out in June. So what's the Linux Mint Mini? Like a little single board computer with Mint on it? Because I haven't heard about this.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I think I may have heard that mentioned. I just have to get.
We're all frantically typing and looking it up. Yeah, apparently it's like a NUC or something.
Oh, the Mini 2?
Yeah, it's like a NUC.
Yeah, it says extremely compact Mint Box Mini 2 Linux PC launches in June. Dell is offering it for mobile users by selling laptops running Ubuntu. Right. Linux Mint is catering to desktop users with the Mint Box Mini, which launches in June.
Yeah, we'll have to follow up on that. That looks like an interesting project.
Yeah, I think we actually did mention this as like a flash topic before.
Oh, that's entirely possible. I don't remember yesterday, so.
You don't?
Yeah, yeah.
I remember exactly how much champagne I drank. So yeah, I guess I remember part of it anyway. Oh, and by the way, well, no, I got to save that for the next Thursday thing we do because I don't want to do that now.
You might forget about it.
I won't forget about it because believe me, it was unforgettable. So.
Ah, okay. Well, we'll save it then.
All right, so there was one other thing I wanted to touch on. Oh, I tried. I was looking for other applications to talk about today on our Linux and the Ham Shack segment, and I tried PyDX Cluster, which is in the Debian repos. But I was using the Jesse version because I'm still on stable in mine, and I think that was a few revs back, and it was not working real well for me. There was some connectivity to PSK. Was it psktracker.info or something like that? There's a website, a
PSK reporter.
Yeah, that's it. And that was broken in it. So it probably just needed an update, to a newer version or whatever to work properly, because I'm sure mine was several revs back. But I'm going to hopefully touch on that one in the next episode as well. So just to let you know, if you're into DX clusters and DX spotting and stuff like that, there is something as an alternative to like XDX and PX. Or PyDX cluster is in the Debian repos. So we'll probably take a look at that too going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've had my machine on FT8 for a while now on 20 meters. And so you can see what my station has heard on PSKReporter.info.
Yeah. My station has actually been reported like 200 times or something on PSK Reporter. I had no idea. And I was actually doing FT8 today. I did several 20 meter contacts on FT8.
Oh, sweet. I wonder if I heard
you. You may have. I didn't see your call sign out there. I had a contact. And let's see. Where did I contact? I contacted Cuba and Canada. And I don't remember. I tried
Apparently
Spain.
Not Montana.
No, not Montana. I tried Spain. So the way my antenna is oriented, Montana is like in the dead zone. The way things are. I mean, it's literally in the dead zone.
Sorry, Bill. He just doesn't like you.
Yeah, he's just not that into me.
Yeah.
I don't have you in my herd list. I don't see it there, but that's kind of cool. I have a bunch of stations out there.
I was fairly QRP on FT8 too. I think I was operating around 20 watts. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I got like a KL7QW and K0DEQ W0DR.
I did see Darren says no VK contacts, but I actually did see a VK today, and I tried to get them, but I didn't. I was not successful in getting the VK, whatever it was.
Mine heard a ZL2 and a bunch of Japan stations and one Asiatic.
ZL2 is what, South Africa?
No, ZL2 is New Zealand.
Yeah, okay.
Zulu Sugar South Africa. Yeah. I don't see any on 20 on there. Normally I pick them up on 40.
Actually, my I switched over to QSS-TV. Actually, my computer is decoding a bunch of random pictures. I've noticed that several pictures have come through today with no identifying features on them. And as far as I know, if you don't actually put your like call sign information and stuff in the image, I don't know that there's any way to authenticate where the picture came from. So, but I've seen a bunch of stuff. Oh no, but I saw a bunch of stuff come through that were just pictures, no call sign information.
Wouldn't that be broadcasting?
It would be broadcasting. But of course, if there's no identifying features, you'd have to go try and triangulate them and track them down or whatever. So anyway, some interesting stuff coming up for the next episode, hopefully, and so stay tuned for all of that. But that being said, we're kind of down to the end this time, but we do still have our social media roundup. So woo-hoo! All right, let's find out who is being a partner with the show and connecting with us on all of our social media networks.
All right, well, for this week we have in our patrons list John Spriggs, Steve Sainer, Donald Gever, Robert Pitts, Paul Griffith, Jonas Rulo, John Zaruba Jr., Samuel Vimes, Steve Metcalf, and Chris Beggio. For subscriptions, we have Michael Jopling, Steve Nichols, Todd Bowers, Thor Wiegman, Stephen Harp, Charlie Brown, Kevin Murray, Wayne Carpenter, Doug Rutter, Bill Piotr, Darren King, Dylan Engel, Alan Wilson, Donald Gever, John Clark, Michael Aiello, Robert Halliday, Brian Smith, Johnny Kinsey, Ronald Icke, Robert Yerke, Michael Connolly, Jeremy Hall, and Jonas Rulow. Mr. Gover and Mr. Rulow, if you're not aware of this, you are paying for Patreon and through PayPal, I guess, for subscribing. Maybe you're intending to do that. Maybe you're not. If you're not, you need to correct that. And we would like to encourage everybody that is subscribing to move to Patreon. But of course, if you don't want to, we understand. So for Facebook, we have Thomas Gorecki, Steven Strauss, John Merkel, Jeff McGee, Larry Catron, Michael Eddings II, and Bruce James. For Google Plus, we have Fred Cole, Ralph Mills, and Stephen Hoffend. We have at Radio Club SU, at Yo I'm Bert, at Helium Radio, at K9LRP, at K5PDC, at Ham Workbench, at Craig Barrow, at Colward, at N0RBR, at Hawk Libertarian, and at that's Zudra Gomir, I'm guessing on that. John Taylor joined us on YouTube, and there was nobody that joined the mailing list or no merchandise sales.
All right, that's pretty much down at the end. There's lots of chat going on, and any other, you know, links and things that show up that are useful to the program will show up in the show notes. But that being said, I believe we are down to the end of episode number 217. So we'll just jog on over to the chat room, see if anybody else has any final comments or if any of the hosts have final comments before we roll on out of here.
Comment.
Come to Hamvention.
Yeah. Go ahead, Bill.
Hamvention. CQ Hamvention.
That's it. Thanks, everybody, for listening live. Oh, and I did actually have the list of people who are listening live, so I wanted to definitely mention that before we sign out here. And those people who were here in the chat room with us and listening live were Dave, KB0OWD, Sean, VE6SAR, Darren, VK6EK, Paul, KE5WMA, and Steve, KD0IJP. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in and for listening, you know, ipso post facto, or whatever the hell Latin is, or ex post facto, something like that. Anyway, afterwards. And right under the wire, we had Don KC9ZMY and Ted WA0EIR show up in the chat room, but they didn't want to let us know that they were there, so I kind of had to ferret it out for myself.
Shame on them.
So thanks, everybody, and we will be with you again for episode number 218 next Monday. And hopefully we'll have that special interview deep dive thing. And if not, we'll still have some really good content for you. So signing off for now, I'm Russ, K5TUX.
I'm Cheryl, W5MOO.
And I'm Bill, N4RD, 73.
At the end, WA0EIR.
So, of course
you just had to ruin the whole thing.
So. Yeah. Mess our whole thing up. Jeez.
All right. Take care, everyone. See you for the next one.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a community-sponsored podcast. Our website is located at lhspodcast.info. You can support the program by visiting the LHS Patreon page of patreon.com/lhspodcast or using the contribute link on the website. Get in touch via social media. The show has a presence on Google+, Facebook, Twitter, Discord, and YouTube. Or you can drop an email to info@lhspodcast.info or record a voicemail at 1-909-LHS-SHOW. That's 1-909-547-7469. Visit the IRC channel, LHS Podcast, on the Freenode IRC network. Also visit the online merchandise store at shop.lhspodcast.info for fun and fashionable LHS merchandise. Become an ambassador and represent LHS at a Linux convention or hamfest. Email ambassadors@lhspodcast.info or visit the website for details. The podcast is recorded live every Monday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time. Connect to the stream at stream.blacksparrowmedia.net/8008/LHS Live. Until next time, over and out. Linux in the Ham Shack and the Linux in the Ham Shack logo are released under a Creative Commons Attribute Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License.